at vftbc.org. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to start really at verse number 17, but we're going to get a background, this whole idea of biblical separation, which is unknown in most of the churches in our world. Mm-hmm. Most of the churches. Let's begin to read 14, 15, and 16. And 14, 15, 16, and then we'll talk more about 16 and 17, but 14 and 15 and 16. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So in verse 14, the contrast is unequal yoke with unbelievers. Those that are lost, unsaved, yoke up in marriage, or in church membership, or fellowship of any kind. But fellowship, righteousness with unrighteousness, those are two opposite things. You can't have genuine fellowship, righteousness with unrighteousness. Communion hath light with darkness. The light is one thing, darkness is the other. Verse 15, what concord or agreement hath Christ with Belial, Satan? What part hath he that believes with an infidel? And agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Be the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, walk in them, be their God, they should be my people. We talked about that last Thursday, I just thought we'd review it, because now in verse 17, let's read 17 and 18 now. Wherefore come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So, as much as all these things, God calls for separated people, separated churches. What has been the history of our nation in regard to churches in the world, and also this concept of biblical separation? What's been the progress or regress, Pastor Dan?
Well, the Congress shall make no laws regarding the establishment of religion, but, you know, the separation of the church and state. The church freedom of religion is just as well as this is just as important, just equally constitutionally a right as the freedom of the press. Mm-hmm. In Isaiah chapter 52, in verse 11, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, and be ye clean, that bear ye be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord.
So, in the history of our nation and the world, this concept of biblical separation from apostasy, separated with genuine Christians from the apostate, false, unbelieving, devil type of theology, what's the progress? Is that increasing? Is Bible separation increasing in these last 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, or is it decreasing? What's the concept?
Been decreasing.
In what way? Tell us about it.
Their idea of separation is removes the true word from God's word and replace it with something. And they're accepting anything from the world into the churches today. Mm-hmm. I remember going up in the 80s, in the 70s, there were so many things that were forbidden in the church, and now they just openly embrace them.
Mm-hmm. Is that good or bad for the churches, the Bible-believing churches?
Bad.
And what is bad about it? What is harmful about it? What does it do to sound Bible-believing churches if they're in league and together with unbelievers, lost people?
Well, the truth of the gospel gets drowned out. It gets so watered down that in some churches it's non-existent.
Mm-hmm. Churches that are definitely separatists unto the Lord of doctrines, proper doctrines, does that make for larger congregations or smaller? And why? Or why not? Does that make for a larger congregation, a separate church of John?
Separatist churches tend to make smaller congregations. The world doesn't want to hear the truth.
All right, Pastor Dan.
Well, it depends. I mean, if you go back historically, sometimes the people that were left were the apostates, modernists, mm-hmm. go back historically. So, I don't know. I mean, presently it seems as though it's going the opposite direction. But historically, at least, again, it then it goes in a circle as far as the principles of separation, as far as sometimes it increases, sometimes it decreases, as far as those that are separating and those who aren't separating. And so there may be a time yet in the future where people will wake up to the truth and will separate from the worldliness they have to separate from.
All right. And then John.
I was saved. I was born again during, I think, a surge of separation went through the churches. That's what I just think of now.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, you had the privilege of dedicating your life to Him and dedicating your thoughts and your whatever you do and separate from all evil and apostasy in the world about you. That and some people would be saved and they would be separated Christians. They would just they didn't give their whole life to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like we don't have that now. I'm in this church here, so it's a little different, this church, but it's just a little different.
Yes, John and Pastor Dan.
Yes, there's you know, as there's always been a remnant. God promised there will always be a remnant of Israel. There's always going to be a remnant of the true church in existence. You know, Satan tried his hardest during the Dark Ages to eliminate God's word and have control of it themselves. But there were still pockets of the true church in existence. If it wasn't for that, we would not come out of the Dark Ages. But God's word prevailed.
Yes, Pastor Dan.
Well, there's aspects of there's personal separation, there's ecclesiastical separation.
Mm-hmm.
Two different aspects of separation.
Mm-hmm.
Church separation, personal separation.
And how do you distinguish between those two, Pastor Ted?
One is on a personal level, separated, trying to the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the other is on a church level. In other words, you have to be unequal yoke with false denominations and false teaching and apostasy. I mean, with the mainline denominations, you have all these problems that are prevalent. And granted, maybe there are people going back to where they came from, sadly.
Mm-hmm.
Churches that once left the Northern Baptist Convention are now going back. Not now. The Northern Baptist Convention is now the American Baptist Convention, but they're going back to a situation, position, a standing. That was to the left of where they with the left. I mean, granted, it's a different generation. It's two or three generations later, but it's just people don't have the understanding. It's not. It's that they were not involved in the original battle, the original fight, so they don't understand. They may maybe misunderstand the issues, and perhaps they are missing the danger of compromise.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. Tammy.
Well, kind of piggybacking on what Mom was saying as far as, you know, when someone first is saved, I mean, there are people that are saved and they're not in a Christian home or a separatist background. Mm-hmm. And so they may be saved and they may be just as teachable as somebody that's in a Christian separatist home.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, everyone's an individual, so it's not. I mean, to say that one person is more separated than another, I mean, there's a process of growth, you know. So, but we all have to take these principles and apply them to our lives and. We have to be separate from unbelievers, and the Lord mm-hmm. teaches us as we learn and grow. You know,
mm-hmm.
so everything isn't immediate. We don't learn everything immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And where we are, we may. I mean, if we're saved out of an unsaved home, and we may start way back behind the person that was in a Christian home. But the Lord gives us grace, and He can teach us what we need to know.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the things? First, I talk about the personal separation, as Dan mentioned, and ecclesiastical separation. What are some of the things personally, if a person wants to be a separated Christian to the Lord, what are some of the things that they will not do and some of the things they will do? Any hands on that? What are some of the things they will not do?
They should be separating from worldly practices.
All right.
So examples such as going to the local sweatshops. All right. Or, you know, the adult bookstores.
Mm-hmm.
We go on a long list of things on that.
Yes.
What they should be doing, they should be going to the Christian bookstore and getting themselves a Bill Define King James Bible.
Yes. Other items, yes, Tammy.
We should not be working with the works of the flesh.
Works mm-hmm. of the flesh.
In the book of Galatians, in the chapter 5.
Mm-hmm. Various other things. What other things are things that we should not do as far as other types of practices in the world, either with worldly things or doctrinal things?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Vaughn?
I think since we have television, we don't have that great separation. I mean, that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, lots of filthy stuff is on the television, too.
Even good stuff is on television.
Pardon me?
Even some good stuff on television keeps you away from the spiritual
side. Some of the good things are not as scriptural as other things. And swearing and God's name in vain and all kinds of adultery and fornication and mixed marriages and all sorts of things are in the book, too. So separation is going downhill as we see it and through the years. From the time I was saved back in 1945, 44, to the present time, people have different standards. And to separate from wickedness and unbelief, as Tammy said, you may not be separated when you're first saved. You've got things to learn. And so, but after a while, some new Christians that were in the world and horribly unsaved, some of them have made more progress in separation under the Lord than those that have been Christians for years, 10, 15, 20 years. Dick?
I'm sorry. I was really scratchy. But,
it's okay.
A point of something I just learned recently in history. It's not separation, but the cry for unification. We're not Christian people unifying, but like in the news recently, Pope Francis was it, I think it was at Abu Dhabi. Is that a fun word to say, Abu Dhabi? It was in Abu Dhabi, mm-hmm. and the Muslim guy was there. I don't know if it's the Mufti or maybe whatever the big... Mm-hmm. So the two, the Muslim Pope and the Pope, Catholic Pope,
this would be right there,
they're meeting, and it was some big deal, the first time they've ever gotten together. So that's not mm-hmm. separation, but that's a joining.
Yeah.
And
right.
then I also recently learned that when Pope Francis was inaugurated, or whatever it is, coronated,
mm-hmm.
The Eastern Orthodox Pope mm-hmm. went to his inauguration, first time. Mm-hmm. So the Eastern Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church, Roman Catholic Church, since 1025, I think the year of the Great Schism, as they call it,
mm-hmm.
they were together. So it's amazing that in this time that everybody's getting together. Now that's not separation, but that's everybody getting together.
Yes.
So I thought that was interesting, and that has been on my mind in the last few days because, like, I think it was 2 days ago, or I think it might have been while I was here yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I saw on the news he was there in Abu Dhabi, and
mm-hmm.
the Muslims they were having a grand old time, and they made statements together.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all getting along.
That's good. Yes, David and Rebecca Howell from South Carolina. Go right ahead.
Hi, Pastor Wade and everybody. I was just thinking of this separation, and I know many have talked about personal separation and ecclesiastical separation, but just as Wade said, you know, there's just not a lot of people that are separated. The reason is they're not stuck in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
If we study and apply the Word of God to our lives, as the Bible tells us, study to show thyself approved unto God, workmen
Amen. Thank you, David. Let's wave to David and Rebecca Howe over there. Amen. Over in South Carolina. That's great. Yes, now Tammy, I think it's something. Was it or Pastor Dan? Pastor Dan, go ahead.
Back to the unity clause. So it was, we just talked about it a few minutes ago before, David, before David's call.
Uh-huh.
What started the fundamentalist movement was they were people from denominations had things in common as far as they were opposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Various different denominations, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Baptists, whatever the groups are involved in, mm-hmm. in all this fundamentalism movement of the 20s. There was something they were noticing, they had something in common as far as they were all opposed to apostasy, and their denominations were all against the foundational biblical principles. And so they mm-hmm. united on these common fundamental truths that everyone else was trying to get rid of.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the doctrines, for example, that Bible-believing Christians should dispute, disagree with, completely condemn? What about heaven and hell? Is that important?
Yes.
Two concepts, yes, they certainly are important. And those of fellowship, those that believe in heaven, fellowshipping with those that don't believe in no hell, no hell, no heaven, that's apostasy. Fellowship, that's what this is, the separation involves. Not unequally yoked together, these that believe these doctrines. What about the deity of Christ, those that believe that, those that don't believe that Christ is anything but a human being? Now, can you fellowship with those two things together? See, all these different doctrinal issues are things we have to be very clear on separation. Yvonne?
Well, when I was first saved, and during that period of time, then I had a very tender heart toward the things of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to serve Him, live for Him. And anyhow, we tried to dedicate our life to the Lord Jesus, of how He wanted. But different people had different rules or thoughts of what dedication mm-hmm. to the Lord meant and living. I'm sort of forgetting what I wanted to say. Mm-hmm. But there's a difference came. Everybody that accepted Christ as Savior was not separated.
Right.
And that's true today, too.
Yes. Trying to have half
of we don't hear about separation.
Right. Pastor Dan. Pastor Dan, no. Pastor Dan. Then Pastor
Dan. No, they have no understanding today. Because they haven't lived through it.
Yes.
People today, the second generation, third generation, maybe fourth generation of people, have not lived through and seen the destruction of modernism.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're in a sense playing with fire and not understanding what the truth is. Mm-hmm. And like David was saying earlier, people don't have an understanding what the Bible actually says.
Mm-hmm.
And so when somebody says something that's contrary to the Bible, they can't identify it as counterfeit.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what the real stuff is, the real Bible, what the Bible actually is saying and teaching.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Dick.
I was just making a mouth movement in your comment, but I was thinking about something.
I saw your mouth.
Yes, and I did, because it might be too hot to handle. But my mm-hmm. thought occurred to me. Maybe these people aren't really saved.
Yes. Yes.
Mom, this is what I was talking about, some people, and I mean, there's a certain degree that they were. What does it say in one of the John epistles? Mm-hmm. They went out from us because they were out of us. If they had been of us, they would have stayed with us.
Yes.
So I know it's a matter of determining what and where,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes that was a thought that made my mouth move because I was thinking about that.
Yes.
So, only the Lord knows the heart, I know. So we, I guess if we love the Lord, we follow Him. The irony, another thing, I'm getting off, but they say that the largest growing, quote, denominations are the non-mainline. Because mm-hmm. that'd be the original question, would they grow? Mm-hmm. I would think not, because it's a narrow gate, narrow way. So mm-hmm. theoretically, mm-hmm. if it's a narrow gate, not mm-hmm. many people fit through there, to use mm-hmm. Jesus' picture. Right. But supposedly the mainline ones are not growing. Of course, the big broad brush mm-hmm. evangelical, which probably that's a big hodgepodge of everything,
mm-hmm.
that's probably where you want to separate from. But they're supposedly growing more, but they're appealing to the flesh, like you said, it's basically It's for the audience. It's you take a poll, what do they want, and then you give them what they want, and then you revel over how many people show up.
Yes.
And God must grieve in his heart. It's almost like having Baal worship in a certain sense.
Yes.
It's desecrated the temple. Like I was just thinking about Manasseh when he put the idols in the middle of the temple to desecrate it, right in the middle of the holy temple where God was worshipped. He did that. And it's almost in the whole term churches, you have all this. It's not really Baal worship, but it's false God worship, in my opinion. So, but they may grow, but they're not separated. So, in one sense, the observation, statistically, the mainline ones are not growing, supposedly, but these other ones, the free-willing ones, with the free-willing consciences, and do come one, come all, do what you want, they are growing. But separated churches, I would think, probably would grow. But God, in his graciousness, could maybe have, like, the remnant would be so interested, and they might just go to that one, but I don't think it would be big. So, but anyway, I just thank God that I'm saved, and I've persevered. God has persevered, but I've persevered, and he's kept faith. So that's the good thing, that keep going, and you have the assurance that you are the Lord's, because you are, you love him, and you respond to his word, and you also persevere when you think about it. And the older you get, I guess you have more of a highway to look backward on and see how God has led you. And but when you see some people that maybe, quote, don't separate, they're so non-separated, they totally separate from God.
Yes.
So, but they were, you know, but were they ever really truly born again?
I wonder about that. Yeah, fun, and then John.
I forgot what I was going to say to begin with, but I keep thinking about how people get saved. When we had the Dean Burgon meeting, and it was at the Bible Presbyterian Church this last year, or two years ago, I forget. And there's this really separate, that's the theme of evidently of that denomination. And I was up there, and there was a couple people behind me talking together, because it took a while for the line to move. And they said, what does it mean, be ye separate? That's what they're talking. What is this, be ye separate? Because that's verb. What is that talking about?
Big sign on the
side. I know what it's talking about. I could have answered. It's very theologically correct and everything. And I started to say something, and I thought, I really can't. It doesn't make too much sense to talk about separation when some of these people probably aren't even saved.
Right.
Or they don't know what the Lord, and you don't bring up separation. I mean, there's things you talk about, things you don't talk about at different stages. But I don't know, maybe that's not right either. I don't know, really, no.
So the people weren't saved?
I didn't ask them.
Maybe some of those attending that particular conference.
Were talking.
But you thought that they might not be.
I thought they might, not to know what separation meant. How could you be not be saved? Or to be saved, or whatever that was supposed to say.
Well, this passage right here, 2 Corinthians 6, in verses 14 through 17.
We've got sermons on separation. We don't hear any sermons on separation.
Anna.
Well, clearly, if we had to be told to be separate, it implies that we. It sort of implies that we don't automatically be separate. We have to be reminded to be separate.
Yes.
What's supposed to be a thing that comes from the heart?
Yes.
You know, that's
but it comes from the Word of God.
Yes.
Word of God. Because
your heart is touched by the Word of God and by the teaching of the apostles and all those things, and how you should live daily live.
Scriptures must be followed. All right, questions at BATBC.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. Pastor Dan.
Yeah, this is true in the first century church as well. I mean, obviously, this was Corinth was in the first century. They were throughout all the centuries in the past and in the future, God's people need to remember to be reminded to be separated from the world. From
is that separate from sin and separate toward God?
Toward God,
but from sin and then
right. Separate under God and from sin. Yvonne and Tim.
Well, like, if you want to live for the Lord and have people know you're a Christian, you want to have a testimony, You can't go out and get drunk every week.
Exactly.
And you can't.
Or
you
even
just can't.
They won't
think that you're a Christian, you know, when they pick you up and take you home because you can't even walk. And there's other things. The life is should show that you're separated unto the Lord. But then you can't. You could put an act on too, because some people do.
Yes. We should be separated from cursing and blaspheming God's name and Christ's name and talking filthy language, all these different things. Now, in verse number...
People should know that's a Christian.
Well, yes, Tammy, go ahead.
So verse 17 reminds me of what we're reading now in the Old Testament, because that was the command that the Lord gave to the Levites, and in particular to Aaron and his sons. And then they weren't supposed to touch the unclean thing. Not just unclean foods and, dead bodies and things like that, but they were to wash before they went into the tabernacle.
Yes.
All the ceremonial cleanness that they were supposed to have, and even the sacrifices were washed.
Yes.
So, everything was washed. And so that's just a picture of how God wants us clean, and he doesn't want uncleanness.
So in verse 17, which we take up for the first time this evening instead of last week, but wherefore, because of verse 14, 15, and 16, wherefore, because of all these things, they're opposites, completely opposites, black and white, up and down, heaven and hell, come out from among them. Who's referred to in the word them? From these other verses. 17. 2 Corinthians 6, 17. Wherefore come out from among them? And verses 14, 15, and 16.
Yes.
What are the thems that were to come out from?
The unredeemed, the unborn again.
Unredeemed and born again? What else? There's about six different contrasts here. What are some of the ones you separate from? Tammy?
The idols.
Idols. Mm-hmm. That's one. What else? Idols. What?
Unbelievers,
that's right.
Uncleanness.
All right, what else?
Darkness.
What is it?
Darkness,
all right. What else? What?
I said darkness.
Oh, darkness, okay. Pastor Dan.
Unrighteousness.
I have no fellowship with darkness.
Unrighteousness, all right, that's good, Dan. Yes, Tammy.
Belial.
What is that?
Belial.
See, the old devil himself. These are things that God says, come out from among them and be separate. Separate. You see, but a lot of Christians, genuine Christians, either never read this or don't know or don't care to read it, or they've read it but they don't agree with it. It's too strict for them somehow. You know what?
My husband was saved in high school. We had a small revival in our class. That's when we graduated.
That's in 1945.
Yes, it was a wonderful thing, really, because you were saved.
Yes.
And you weren't the most popular man, but you weren't unpopular. You were, I didn't know where you were. I mean, you were just a man that
just
went to
school. Just an ordinary person.
Right?
Before and after.
Say it again?
Before and after being saved, just an ordinary person.
Well, I have more to say there, but I can't remember what it is.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have interrupted.
You were talking about the revival.
A whole difference. People got saved. People that were saved came out and told us they were saved.
Yes.
And I always tried to live as a Christian. I lived differently in school than I did in church. I was myself in church. And I wasn't bad or anything, but I was myself. And in school, I always knew I was a Christian and had to be like a Christian. I guess in church I didn't think I had to be like a Christian. I don't know. But I always had that I had to be a testimony for Jesus. I'm just going around. I'm sort of tired.
It's all right. Come out from among them, all these different things that are mentioned. Be separate. Says the Lord, he's the one that's saying this. What's this last part mean? Touch not the unclean thing and I will receive it. What does that mean?
What verse?
Verse 17, the last part. Touch not.
You can't even touch the untouched, but touch it.
That's right. Stay away from it. Just, see, that is unheard of to many Christian believers. See, I don't want to be like this. This is too narrow.
So I didn't go to dances. I didn't do any of that.
Is God narrow or strict?
I didn't know how to dance anyhow.
Is God narrow or is he strict?
Strict.
I mean, broad, right? He's narrow and strict both. That's right. Son of Abraham, yeah, John.
He's holy, but I was going to say about this verse, you know, touch not the unclean thing. You know, first thing we think about is, the meat that was offered to their idols and stuff, but that's not all it entails. We should also touch not those things. Do not imitate not just the things of the world, but even the appearance of things that yes. come from the world, the way the worldly system does stuff, the way the yes. heathen nations around Israel did things. There are different practices they engaged in. Maybe the practice in and of itself might not have been a problem mm-hmm. because it was their practice used mm-hmm. in their debauched rituals and stuff. We should stay away from the very appearance of evil.
Appearance of evil. What? What?
The 17th verse, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. Now that's what the person who wants to live for the Lord is supposed to come out from among them and be separate.
Mm-hmm.
Not be like the people that are sitting with you in school. Say the Lord, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean. Not only come out and be away from them, don't even touch them.
Mm-hmm. This illustration.
Receive you.
We've been reading the Old Testament, the illustration, the last couple of days we've been reading about what Aaron, the brother of Moses, did when the people urged him to do what? Moses up on the mount for 40 days and 40 nights.
They urged him to make the golden calf.
And did he or did he not do it?
Yes, he did.
Should he have been separated from that evil?
He should have been separated.
Yes.
He knew better.
Absolutely. So these are some things.
These
things we've got to obey and we've got to try to test. Any other comment? Yes, Tammy.
It's an email. Hello from Wendy Barbie in Wisconsin. These Bible studies are a blessing. Thank you so much. Happy birthday, Mrs. Wade. I'm glad you're okay. Praying for this upcoming Sunday.
Praise the Lord. Wave to Wendy Barbie. Appreciate that very much. Any other comments or questions on these things?
Yes, we've all mentioned a little bit about these church growth movements today, not just those, but others,
mm-hmm.
the modern church of today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they bring in lots of numbers, mm-hmm. but they neglect to tell the gospel message. They don't want to talk about hell.
Right.
They don't want to talk about punishment.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to talk about heaven, your reward,
they're
love,
right
you know, like the 60s,
mm-hmm.
all you need is love. Well, that's not what it is. You need a book, right?
The
and they don't want to talk about that.
That's right. Good. Yes, hello.
Yes.
Rebecca Howell from South Carolina. Go ahead, Rebecca. Give us what you have in your heart.
Just a couple of comments about the discussion on separation. And you were talking about pretty much maybe a lack of discipleship or people not growing in the Lord and learning to be separated, learning to come out from among them. So we were all, once unbelievers and then we have to come apart. But it reminds me of, in academia, the professor-student relationship and what's really going on in higher education seems to be mirroring what's going on in the church as well between many pastors churches that we've visited and the pew. And it's the same type of parallel relationship and kind of back, like I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back type of reciprocal relationship. That in academia, a lot of professors, they spoon-feed and give the students what they want, so the students will give the professors positive evaluations, and then their paychecks are insured because the bulk of their evaluation comes from the students' evaluations of their teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't bite the hand that feeds you type of thing. And so, and then in a lot of the churches that we have visited and done research, we've seen a similar type of mindset that the pastors are not going to have true expectations for discipleship. And I need to show myself approved among the pew because by raising that bar, which is biblical, then that's going to put the people to work. And then there's not going to be the popularity and applause. So it's always a lot of man-following, essentially. Just being in academia, seeing that, and it's kind of parallel with what we've seen in many churches, including independent Baptist churches. So just wanted to offer that to the next.
Thank you very much, Rebecca. Appreciate this. Wave to Rebecca and David Howell from South Carolina. Both of them, good comments. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that they feel at home here in our small, tiny Bible-Fed Baptist Church with outreach all over the world through the internet.
Yeah, we had a great time being able to talk to them one-on-one.
Yes.
Back in September.
In September, that's right.
Right.
Any other comments or questions before we close?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Pastor Dick, would you close in a word of prayer? Glad to have him. He's our son, one of our sons, four sons, and he's the second from the youngest, right, Dick? Mm-hmm. Pastor Dan's the youngest, and Pastor Dick is the second youngest boy, at least.
Boy, yeah.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have talked to us and given us direction. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for the grace and
yes.
Marvelous, matchless, wondrous grace. We thank you so much for enlightening, opening our hearts, opening our eyes to see truth, making us understand that you exist and you're a rewarder of those that diligently seek you. Thank you again for these people here and those that are listening. Bless them in their lives. Help them be strong. Help us to grow closer to you so we will not even want to be near evil and wrong. We will be attracted to your glorious holiness and revolted by sin in our society. Let us go home with a blessing today. Let us go home safely. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.